Morning. I am enjoying church as much now as I ever have in my life. The Lord brought Kathy and I to this area because we have a son that lives in Pensacola who went to the mission field. He was a senior in high school, and we left him behind with a family in our church, and so he's giving us a little time to spend with him. He's married now and has two children, and he brought us to this area so that we could spend some special time with my son and with his family. When we were looking for a church, we didn't know where we would go to church. We knew there were a lot of churches in this area, but we didn't know where. And so I wrote one of my friends an email, and I said, we're here in this area, and we've been visiting some churches, and I saw about Victory Baptist Church. Do you know anything about Victory Baptist Church? And he wrote me back, and he said, Brother Stark, he said, if I were within 100 miles of Victory Baptist Church, I would drive to attend that church. That's what he told me. And I tell you, we have enjoyed every service. I look forward to coming and singing and hearing the teaching and preaching, and it's just a blessing for us to be here with you. I want to give you a question this morning. And we're going to find the answer in the Bible, in the Old Testament. That's where we find the answers to our questions in the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And the question is, what do you do when the bottom falls out? What do you do when the bottom falls out? I was preaching in Tennessee about 8 years ago on a Wednesday night in a missionary church that was supporting us. And after the service, a lady came up to me and she recognized the name Stark, asked me some questions and so on and so on. And come to find out, this lady, she and her husband, they had been worked with the young people in a church I attended when I was in college, when I would come home for the holidays, and she and her husband were working in that particular church. And so I asked her, I said, well, what are you doing here in this area? Because that was up in Illinois. And I asked her, what are you doing here in this area? And she said, well, it's a long story, but she said, my husband and I went to Wisconsin, and there in Wisconsin we were serving the Lord, and this has been a good number of years now that have passed. And she says, he made a trip down here to this town and felt like the Lord would have us come down here, came back home, and she didn't give me all the details, but came back home and said, he shared with me how that we needed to leave where we were and come down here and to this town and minister in this town. And again, not knowing all the details, but she went on to share with me. She said we sold our house. We left Wisconsin. We came down to Tennessee. We came to this town. We bought a house. We got into the house and got settled there. And then he sat down and he said, I'm leaving. And I'm not coming back. He'd found somebody else. After all those years of serving the Lord together, he's leaving. When I was pastoring, we had a family that came and visited our church, and Kathy and I went to visit them, and we were very impressed. He was in the military, and we were impressed with the children. There were two children at home. They had three. One was away at Bible college. And we were just so encouraged by this family. And they wound up coming to the church, becoming part of the church. And my wife even later on shared with them how she was so encouraged by the children and felt like you must have done something right in the home because of the way your children behave and serve and so on and so on. I met the third child later on. And then he came home from Bible college, graduated, came home from Bible college, stayed in our church for 6 months. And it was at that time the Lord called us into missions and we left. And just as we left, he left, became a public practicing homosexual right out of Bible college. What do you do when the bottom falls out? And I use those illustrations to say that it happens to Christians. not just the unsaved world. It's not just the people out there living their lives the way they want to live, living for the devil, living for the world. But sometimes it happens in the life of a Christian. And we find it happening to one of the great men of the Bible, this man David. We find David, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Turn there with me if you would, if you haven't already. But turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And let me give you a little bit of background on this particular story. If you go back to chapter 24, chapter 26, we find David twice could have dealt with Saul. Saul was chasing him. David's going to be the king. Saul is the king. But Saul is chasing David twice. He could have dealt with Saul as he wanted. As we go on in the story, we get to chapter 27, and David is fleeing. He's running from Saul, and he comes down to the land of the Philistines. He comes to King Achish, who is king of Gath, and in chapter 27 and verse 5, he says to the king, "Give me a place. Just give me a place for me and my men, and we'll go there. We won't get in your way," and so on. You go on in the story in chapter 27, and we find David going out with his men, and they invade the Geshurites, the Gezrites, the Amalekites, and possibly others. And as you read the story, we find that they don't leave anyone behind. They kill everybody. They don't want to leave a witness as to what they have been doing. So they leave no one behind, and they take the spoil. And David comes to Achish, and as he meets with the king, he lies to the king. He tells the king he's been other places when really he's been doing what I've already described to you. We see that in chapter 27. We get to chapter 29, and the Philistines are going to make war with Israel, and David and his men volunteer to go with them to make war with Israel. Well, the king is willing. He thinks that David has been a good man and trustworthy and so on. But some of the others come to the king, to King Achish, and they say, "We don't want him to go. We don't trust him, and we don't want him to go." So the king says to David, "Sorry, but you can't go with us. Take your men and go back." And so they make their journey. They make their journey back to Ziklag, the place that the king had given them and the place that they had been living there and the families have been there. Now look with me at chapter 30, and we'll pick up and see what takes place. Chapter 30, verse 1. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar are the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I'm thankful, God, that we have your word. God's word. Not a man's word or men's words, but we have your word. And we can read and find answers to our questions. And I pray this morning that we might learn something from the life of David. Help us, Lord. Help us to be ready to face what comes our way. Help us, Lord, to be able to help others who might face things like this in their lives. Thank you for loving us, saving us, and giving us a blessed life in Jesus Christ. Speak to us now. Change us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about this message, it might be a message for somebody today here in this building. I'm sure it's not the message for the hour for everyone, because I'm sure not everyone is got the bottom falling out. But it might be that somebody in this building today, you feel like the bottom has fallen out and you don't know what to do. It might be that God is giving the message this morning because He knows that next week, or next month, or next year, the bottom's going to fall out. And He wants to give to you today what you'll need then. It may be that God wants to give this message today because you or I know someone, or we're going to meet someone, and the bottom has fallen out, or it's fallen out, and they just don't know what to do. And God will use us to help them in this particular situation. We find in this story David, and you can say a lot of things about David. I mean, much is given to us in the Bible about David, but we find David in a situation where he weeps till he could weep no more. He's cried, a man, this man of God, this warrior has cried until there's not a tear left. I mean, I believe we've got a man here in a situation like what we're talking about. The bottom has fallen out. And what do? I want to share with you from the passage what I believe are three answers. And I want to give them in an order. And if you were thinking about the three things that I'm going to share with you, you might put them in a different order. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, David inquired at the Lord. Number three, David encountered with the Lord. And if you were giving the message, you might start, or if you're just thinking through the passage, you might start with David inquired. Isn't that the first thing we ought to do, is seek God? But sometimes people get to the place they're not ready to seek God. I mean, some people get so low, it gets so bad, and they may not verbalize it, they may not say it with their mouth, but if they were to say what they're thinking when you're talking to them, they might be saying, I don't want to seek God. I've been living for God all my life. And then the bottom has fallen out. I mean, that's the way a person can feel. Yes, a Christian can get that low, where they just don't know what to do. It seems like the end of the world. And David's in a situation like that. Now notice with me, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. until they had no more power to weaken. I mean, it is so bad, people, that not only David, but his soldiers, these mighty, mighty men, are in tears. And we're having a real meeting here. Had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of... You talk about stress. He was distressed. And no pills to help him. Are you with me? God has the answer, and we'll see it. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When you find yourself in a place, again, you may not verbalize it, you may not admit it, you may not be willing to tell somebody, but when you find yourself in a place where you don't feel like seeking God, what you need to do is encourage yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. You see, we need encouragement, but the greatest place to go for encouragement is the Almighty God. And so we find David, I think, starting not with inquiring at the Lord, but starting by encouraging himself in the Lord. And let me give you two thoughts here about how we can encourage ourselves and how maybe David encouraged himself. Number one, I think maybe he remembered past experiences. God wants to work in our lives, not just for today, but for the future. God does things in my life today for tomorrow. God did things in my life 20 years ago for today. God did things in my life 30 years ago, maybe for tomorrow. We have to look back sometimes. I mean, we can find ourselves so low that we look back on the past. We look back on our past experiences with the Lord. And those past experiences and seeing God and experiencing God and coming to know God in a greater way, those experiences can encourage us in the present. And you think about David. Let's go back to chapter 17. Did he have any experiences? He had a list, but I'll give you one. Chapter 17, and thinking about how that God would be with him, how that God had been with him, and before he ever inquires at the Lord, he encourages himself in the Lord. He can go back to chapter 17 and the story of Goliath. He comes on the scene, and Israel is there, and they're shaking in their boots, including his brothers, including the king. And David sees the situation. He sees the giant. He hears the giant. He hears the promises. And he's willing to go out and sing. His brother gives him a hard time. Saul calls him in. Saul's going to give him his armor. And he tries the armor on, and the armor doesn't fit. It doesn't work. He hadn't proven it. But he's got a sling, and he gets five stones. And I'm shortening the story, but he takes those five stones, and he goes out in the name of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord, he takes that stone and that sling, and he slings it, and the giant falls to the ground. God gave him the victory. And when he's going through a time when the bottom has fallen out, possibly he looked back at that time when God had given him such a victory over Goliath, and he was encouraged because God had done it one time. God could do it again, and God can do it again, and God can do it again. God works in our lives, number one, to bring Him glory, but number two, so that you and I will have experiences that we can look back upon, and those past experiences can encourage us. No matter how dark the day gets, no matter how difficult it is. I mean, it was difficult. The bottom had fallen out for David and for his men. But he remembered past experiences. You and I can remember past experiences. But number two, we can believe present promises. Praise the Lord. God has given us a book full of promises. God knows that when He gives us something to do, and when we feel led to do something, we need promises to build our life on. God's given us a book full of promises, and you and I can read them, and we can apply them to our lives, and then we can respond to life and what's going on based upon the promises God has given to us. And again, it may be promises that you got 25 years ago in BBS, or it may be a promise you got just a couple of weeks ago in a devotion. It may be a promise that came to you as the preacher was preaching or teaching. But God gives us promises. You've got ones that are special to you. Now, what about Proverbs 3? My pastor, the man that really helped me, and when I surrendered to preach, and the man that I called pastor for so many years, he would always sign his name, and then he would put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Is that not a promise that could fit David's situation? Yes, he's there. What to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, we can believe present promises. What about Jeremiah 33? Simple, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and precious promises which thou knowest not. What about Isaiah 40? But they that wait upon the Lord. That's a hard thing to do. I had to tell my sister this week. I was talking to her. She's going through a tough situation. I was telling her probably the hardest thing for a Christian to do is wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you could add to that list number 4, and number 5, and number 6, and number 7, and number 8, and number 9. And I'm telling you, we could collect them, and we've got enough promises to take care of any and every situation in this life. God has given them to us. So we find David in such a situation. The bottom has fallen out. He's distressed. He's crying. The rest of these men are crying. But David takes time to encourage himself in the Lord. And that's where it needs to begin. Sometimes you may find yourself, I don't want to pray. Huh? I don't want to pray. I'm telling you, it's just, I don't want to pray. So you encourage yourself so that you will want to pray. And the same one we're going to pray to, we encourage ourselves in Him, in the Almighty God. So number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Number two, we get down to verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord. Look at verses 7 and 8. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, now listen to what he asks. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And listen to what God says. God answers. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. God gave instructions or answers. And when God gave the instructions, I want you to notice that God gave three answers to David's two questions. Look again at the verse. Shall I pursue after this troop? Question number one. Shall I overtake them? Question number two. And he answered him, pursue. Answer number one. for thou shalt overtake them. Answer number two, and God gives him something more, and without fail, recover all. God gave instructions, and God gave answers. God made provision by giving him a promise. And I want to say to you, when you read chapter 30, and we come down verses 1 through 8, and we find David in the situation that he's in, we find his men in the situation that they are in, God was already there, had already been there in Ziklag before David and his men ever got there. Let me give you a thought. David, when he was on the war path with his men, killed every man, killed every woman, killed every boy, killed every girl. That was the way he was doing it, and he had a reason for it. He didn't want any witnesses left to tell what he had really been doing. And so David killed all of them. But here when the Amalekites come and they attack Ziklag, they don't kill any of them. God was already there. God had already been there. God had already been working before David ever got there. And if the bottom falls out in your life, don't think God has abandoned you. It may very well be that God is getting ready to do something so big in your life, and He's already been there, and He knows everything about the situation, and He is seeking to work in your life for your benefit, for the benefit of others, and to bring glory to Him. And so we see that God has already been there. Look at verse 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So God, David inquires of the Lord. He asks God what he should do, and God gives him an answer and tells him even more than he asked. And then we see number three. Number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, David inquired at the Lord. And number three, beginning in verse 9, David encountered with the Lord. David will go. He'll pursue. He'll smite. And he'll recover. But he won't just recover. He'll recover all. That's God. That's the Almighty God. Look at verse 9. We read down to verse 19. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. When the bottom falls out, people, don't sit down. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't lose faith. Don't feel sorry for yourself. The bigger, the greater your problem, the bigger, the greater the opportunity for God to make Himself known, for God to work in your life, for the benefit of yourself, for the benefit of your others. It may be your family. It may be your friends. It may be that God is just wanting to put Himself on display there where you work, there where you go to school, in that neighborhood where you live, in your church. God wants to put Himself on display. And what do we do? Sometimes we don't feel like inquiring. We're distressed. But we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Then we inquire, Lord, now what should I do? And God will tell you. And God will do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. And we see it right here in the passage. And then we pursue. We go with the Lord and do what He has told us to do. What's the answer? Trust. Trust. Just trusting. Amen. I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe somebody here today. You know, sometimes it gets so bad, people take their lives. Don't have to. They can find encouragement in the Lord. They can find direction from the Lord. They can find the enablement from the Lord. And we're going to pray, and as we pray, one of the ladies will play something on the piano. Give you an opportunity if you need to come talk to the Lord. Maybe you're in a situation like that. Maybe you know somebody you need to pray for right now. Maybe the Lord's putting somebody on your heart. But we'll give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. I'll pray, and then you can respond as the Lord leads. Father, thank You for giving us this story. Thank You, Lord, for giving us these directions. Help us. Help us, God. Lord, if there be somebody here today without Jesus Christ, they need to be saved. I pray You'd speak to them. We didn't say much about that, but God, You could save them today. Have Your will. Have Your way in our lives. Use us in the lives of others. Use us to bring glory to Your name. I pray in Jesus' name.